Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn with me in your Old Testaments to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to conclude this series that we've been in that I've called Hunting Lions with a Squirt Gun. Now, I know that's a silly title, but here's the purpose of this silly title. I hope this silly title, Hunting Lions with a Squirt Gun, is seeped into your heart and mind for the silliness that it is. Because every day, you and I are going to encounter lions. The devil is portrayed in the New Testament as a lion seeking to devour you. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week we talked about lions in the form of people and ravenous beasts who would love to bring you down. We also talked about giants. Every day we're going to face lions, bears, tigers, ravenous beasts, giants. And it would be absolutely frivolous to begin your day to take on the world, to take on lions and giants and bears and ravenous beasts in your own strength and in your own power. Thus, the title of this silly series, Hunting Lions with a Squirt Gun. Just as dumb and frivolous as it would be to go on a safari or whatever and hunt a lion with a squirt gun, would it be as dumb and frivolous to take on the lions in this world, to take on the enemy, to take on those who would bring us down, without being people of prayer? Think of it this way. If we don't begin our day in prayer, it would be as if we are stepping out the front door of our home or apartment completely naked. And please don't do that. I'm not advocating for that at all. Please, please have clothes on, okay? But in the spiritual realm, if we are not people of prayer, diligent prayer, and we try to begin our day without the power of God through prayer, it would be as silly and frivolous and shameful as taking on our day and going out and living our life completely naked. We must be people of prayer. I guarantee you, you will face lions and beasts and giants. And how are you going to deal with them? Are you going to reason? You going to reason with the devil when he comes and seeks to devour you or tempt you? Are you telling me you're going to reason with the devil? No. Are you going to reason with people who want to attack you and stab you in the back and take you down? There's no reasoning with that. So we can't reason our way out of it. Neither can we fight. You're going to try to fight a lion in your own strength and in your own power? You're going to try to take down a giant or ravenous beasts in your own strength and in your own power? Now, someone did bring to my attention Samson. Samson, we read in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Samson took down a lion with his bare hands. Let me read those verses to you. In Judges chapter 14, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. Okay, that's pretty scary. I'd be scared. But these are the words that we hear right after this in verse 6 of Judges chapter 14. And this is key right here. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. So yeah, Samson was able to take down a lion with his bare hands, but it wasn't in his own strength. Very clearly we read it was because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully. And guys, that's the key. If we're going to take down the lions and the bears and the ravenous beasts and the giants that will inevitably come our way every day, the only way we are going to defeat them is through prayer as the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. That is the only way we can take on the lions, is in the power of God, and we get that power through prayer. Plus, we need to be pretty smart, too. We can't be dumb. We can't be making dumb choices. Just yesterday on my bike ride, last Sunday I talked about my first dog bite on my bike ride. I was bitten by a dog. And that was a couple weeks ago. Just yesterday, I went down the same path. And guess who I saw down the path? The same dog with the same owner. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb in the light stand, but I'm no dummy either. And you know what I did? I turned around and went a different path. And so we need wisdom as well. And God gives us wisdom. I wasn't about to go past the same dog and repeat the same mistake. And so we need God's power and we need God's wisdom to help us, to give us direction in life. So we pray, God, give us power and wisdom and help us not to be so foolish as to take on a lion with a squirt gun. So a couple weeks ago, I introduced this little guy that serves a powerful punch. Now, last week, someone took this and squirted me quite a bit with it, and you know exactly who you are. So I came prepared this week with this guy. That's right. This is what happens when you mess with me. All right. Oh, no, I told you a full-blown squirt gun fight was going to break out in church today. All right. Now, for added measure, I'm going to do this. All right, this is cool. All right, here we go. And this will make you think twice. Here we go. Here we go. I'll be back. Because we need a cover for the new church directory, right, Rhonda? Right here. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's good to have fun in church. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 23 and work our way through this chapter so I can get you out of here and you can go have lunch. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But get this, they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing, so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, get this, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Amen? Amen? We're going to pray, and I want to share with you Sue's prayer from today that she shared with me that you will find inspiring as well. "Living for you, Lord, is our goal. Our dear Lorena lived next to the church for many years. She was a non-believer who swore she wouldn't step foot inside any church, let alone become a believer, because of the church next door. Oh, but the plans of man and woman are not set in stone. Not only did God draw Lorena to come in, but he called her to hear a ministry of loving all and to accept him as her Savior. We were blessed to have her in our lives, and she was blessed to be part of the family of God. Father, bless today with the message of finding life. Call people to hear about and accept life before they find nothing but an eternity of pain and sorrow. Today we celebrate life and the victory over death. We rejoice in life because Jesus gave his all. Amen and amen." Stoicism is making a resurgence in our culture and even over in Europe. If you're not familiar with what Stoicism is, it is the ancient Greek philosophy, which even predates Christianity. It comes from the Greeks. And basically, Stoicism is this. And if you go into any Barnes & Noble, you'll see they've got sections of Stoicism and Stoic books that come from the Greek philosophers. And basically, it's this. It's mind over matter. It's you control your destiny. It's don't worry about the things you can't control. Just worry about the things you can control. Things like that. It's not bad. Stoicism is good. I think we all need a little bit of stoicism in our lives to be able to take control, to do what we are able to do, to not be victims. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But it's not the gospel. Because here's the truth of the gospel. The gospel is this. There are still things in our lives that we cannot, in our own strength and in our own power, do. We cannot save ourselves. Only Christ our Lord is our Savior. We cannot work miracles. Only God can work miracles. There are still things that we cannot do, no matter how stoic or strong or powerful or successful you may think you are. There are still things that only God can do. Even Daniel, in his own strength, however stoic he was, could never have saved and rescued himself from the den of these lions. Only God could step in and shut the mouths of these lions. And this is why we're a people of faith. Because there are things that still only God can do, no matter how stoic or strong or resilient you are. A couple of quick things I see in this passage that we read. If you go to verse 4 of Daniel chapter 6, one of the keys here is that Daniel was clean. He lived a clean life. He didn't have to run from his past. He lived a blameless life. And so if we look at verse 4, at this the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. How many politicians do we see of week after week have to drop out of a race or resign or whatever because of some kind of corruption, some kind of scandal? We see it happening every day. How many pastors have to resign from the pulpit because of some corruption or scandal? In the secular workplace, how many employers do we see have to resign because of embezzlement or some kind of corruption? Corruption will bring people down and continues to do so every day. But in Daniel, they could find no corruption in him. He was honest. He was trustworthy. He was a man of integrity. And I would say, if we want power in our lives, if we want the power of God to flow through us, we must be people who are pure and trustworthy and people of integrity in the sight of God. Turn to Psalm 24:4. Psalm chapter 24:4. For the psalmist reiterates this important theme, the importance of being clean and pure and holy so that God's power can flow through us. And we read this in Psalm 24. I'll begin at verse 3. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in idols or swear by false gods. And that's the picture of Daniel. He would not compromise his belief in Yahweh, the God of Israel. Even when faced with imprisonment and being thrown in the lion's den, he would not compromise his belief. So he was clean. The second thing that I see in verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6 is that he was consistent. Look at Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what did he do? He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. He was consistent in his prayer life. Nothing would deter him. Nothing would sway him from the holy habit, the practice of praying to his God three times a day. I can't even get a lot of people to pray once a week, let alone three times a day. But it speaks to the power of consistency in his prayer life. If you have not yet downloaded the Lectio 360 app, it is an incredible prayer app. And three times a day, I get these beautiful verses and prayer prompts One in the morning, one at noon, one at night. Lectio 360. They remind me to pray throughout the day. There are other prayer apps. In this series, I've been giving away these prayer journals, and I have another one to give away. If you could use this, and you promise me you will use it, this is a prayer journal with prayer prompts in it. Tailor it to your own needs. You journal how God leads you, but it's another way for you to take your prayer life to the next level. And so be consistent. Develop a prayer habit. Find what works best for you. But Daniel, in this regard, was stubborn, in a good way. Danielle spoke earlier about how Lorena was stubborn, and she did have a strong will. It was fun to watch at times. Just yesterday, when we went to go pray with her, I picked up her mail, and this was in the mail yesterday. I find it funny that on the day she passed away, she gets a jury summons. Now, knowing Lorena the way I knew her and the way many of us knew her, she was stubborn and determined in her own way. If she wanted to do something, she would find a way to do it. If she didn't want to do something, she would find a way to get out of it. And I think this was her way of saying to Lane County government officials, I'm not going to respond to your jury duty because I'm going to be dancing in heaven with the angels. It's good to be stubborn in a godly way. Daniel was not deterred. And even with this decree hanging over his head, he said, I'm not going to stop my routine. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing because God is true and it works. And I'm going to pray in front of my window where everybody can see me and hear me because I'm not going to be deterred. And so he was consistent. And then the last thing I see here in this chapter, in verses 19 through 22 of Daniel chapter 6, is that he was courageous. He really was courageous. When we pray, God's Spirit gives us a courage that cannot come from stoicism. It cannot come from ourselves. It comes from heaven itself. There's no way Daniel could have faced what he did without the power of God through his prayer life. And so look again at verses 19 through 22 of Daniel chapter 6. At the light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel. Now get this. This caught my attention. The king called to Daniel in an anguished voice. That's important. He wasn't the one in the lion's den. And yet he had anguish and trepidation in his own voice, and he called out to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And then we read this in verse 21, and I read it with Daniel's courage, because it doesn't say anything about him having an anguished voice. But Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. Oh, Daniel had a courage because he knew God was with him. And he prayed diligently to his God. Please, don't start your day tomorrow trying to take on the lions and the beasts and the giants that will come your way with a squirt gun. They will take you down every time. They will bring you down. The only way we're going to live in victory over the lions in our lives is in the power of Almighty God. Amen? Amen? Would you stand with me and let's recite the Lord's Prayer? And I believe it is in our hymnals. Let me find the page number. If you find the number, let me know. This way we're all on the same page and we're reading the same version and we don't get the lines 622, thank you. And we don't get anything mixed up. 622 in the hymnals there in front of you. The Lord's Prayer. Let's conclude this series, but not conclude our prayer life, as we strive to be men and women and young people and boys and girls of prayer, living clean lives, living consistent before God, and living with courage. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, help us to live in the power and the victory of you, at work in us to be able to take down the lions and the beasts and the giants that we face every day. We cannot do this in our own strength. We would be foolish to try. Help us, Lord, to depend on you with greater diligence, to live in victory, and to overcome the evil one. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for receiving Lorena into your kingdom. Help us to live with power. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great, great Lord's Day. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday. God be with you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.